Welcome to episode 37 of the Web 2.0 show. Us. Hello, I'm Josh Owens.
And I'm Chris Saylor. The Web 2.0 show profiles the people behind the latest web services.
By the way, Chris and I just wanted to let you guys know that we discussed the Rails Rumble app later in the podcast. We have completed our app, and the voting is now open, and we'd encourage all of you to go and vote for the applications, give your honest opinion about all of them, and if you happen to vote for us, that would be great also. Just so you guys know how the voting works, if you don't like something, it's better to give it, you know, ones on the lower end of the scale than it is to not vote for it. So anyway, we'll put a link in the show notes, and I guess with that, here's the rest of the show. This week we'll be interviewing ourselves because we're so hot.
That was lame, actually. Wow. Oh.
So, I don't know. I'm assuming most of you probably listened to episode 36 after we launched it. We talked to Jeff from Yikesite. They've actually launched their product. I believe they launched it this past Tuesday. So if you guys were waiting to check that out, feel free to hop on over to yikesite.com and take a look. Looks like a cool product now that they've launched it.
Yeah, especially if you want an easy way to manage your websites.
Yes. So we wanted to sit down and kind of talk about what happened with the website since we just kind of launched that episode and the new website all at the same time. Maybe some of you haven't even seen it because you get the podcast straight through iTunes. Chris and I decided to sit down and just hack out a new website built in Rails because we got tired of trying to shoehorn a blog to do what we needed it to do. So we sat down and we took somewhere between 20 and 30 hours with Chris and Kevin and I and just hacked it all in Subversion probably over the course of a month. So we just wanted to talk about kind of that process and how you – sometimes it's just easier if you just do it. Just, you know, throw caution into the wind and just start writing.
And actually, along those lines, for me, Rails seems to be really, really fast. And I was wondering how quickly you guys out there have actually built websites and, you know, what sort of features it had. So if you want to go ahead and write on in, web2oshow@gmail.com. I am really curious about, you know, comparing the time of the development, you know, against other programmers and, you know, against other frameworks as well.
Yeah. And actually, I mean, they can also leave a comment, too, because that we actually have some campfire integration. When you post a comment, it pops into our campfire and tells us. So, cool stuff.
Of course, it has the standard stuff, like it's got RSS feeds and search integration, of course, via the really cool Access Ferret plugin. And actually, integration with Transponder, our podcast tracking tool, as well as full paid caching. So, you know, God help us if we ever get dug, then it's actually just serving a static page at that point.
Yeah, which is really, really nice. We did hit a snag with that, though. We wanted to build in kind of an admin interface if you're logged in. And with full page caching, that's not something, I mean, we can't cache that particular piece because everyone would see all the edit links and all that stuff if one of us visited the page and it got cached. So what we did as a workaround, I think it was your boss that said something about this method. Mm-hmm. At Chris's job, mentioned using JavaScript and just make a JavaScript call and have it pop in, you know, the XHTML and write on the page. And that way, even though it gets cached, the JavaScript AJAX call will do the checking and pop in the admin interface, I guess, after the fact. And that's actually the same method that we use to get updated Twitter messages right on the site, even though the site is cached. We use the JavaScript that they gave us that uses JSON and AJAX calls to pop in the latest Twitter from our Twitter account.
Yeah, and actually, speaking of the Twitter account, that's twitter.com/web2oshow. And one thing we decided to do with with the new website was neither Josh and I are really big bloggers, and we've struggled with that. So we went ahead and focused on making it a podcast-only website. It's still nice to have status updates. And so what we did is we actually used Twitter for that. So if you want to check out, like, hey, what's going on, which we should actually Twitter that we're recording this right now. That's kind of lame. That's exactly what it was for. But if you can also subscribe to our Twitter feed to find out, hey, what's going on with the next show. We also ask for recommendations for interviewing people. So if you have those, you can just, like, Twitter right back to us.
Yes, and actually I'm attempting to log in and Twitter about this. If you're interested in how we actually Twitter it, we have a Twitter bot that runs on one of our servers and watches the Twitter feed for Chris and I, and we can just say, you know, at Web2O Show, and then the message, and that bot will pick that up and then retweet it back to its own feed. Its own Web2O Show user account. So that way we don't have to log in as a separate Twitter user. We can just do it all right from the spot where we're at. And yeah. I don't know, I had the idea originally to do something like that, and I was too lazy to write it. And so Rick from Active Reload was looking for something similar, and I mentioned my idea, and he wrote it up. So, lazy web for the win.
Oh, and by the way, that's only linked to Josh and I's Twitter accounts, so you know, don't bother trying to slip in your own message.
No hacking for you.
Oh, let's see. Did you already mention the Campfire integration?
Yeah, I did. That's something that we integrated both Akismet and Campfire into our comment posting. So if it passes the Akismet check, it gets saved and does all the page expiring, and then fires off a Campfire bot that we use called Tinder, and goes out and posts the entire comment to our Campfire room. So I've actually been thinking about hooking that up to the Web2O Show Campfire room, since we have one that's freely available for everyone to jump into.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you mentioned that in the previous time where we forgot to hit the record button.
What? No, I hit record. I always hit record. I never forget that. So lame.
All right, let's see. So what else are we working on? Along the lines of just building your own software, I'm almost to the point where Rails is so fast and other people's software annoys me so much that I've started building my own. I started building my own blog software. Yeah, just what the world needs, another piece of blog software. Kill me now.
Would it be a me too, buddy. Me too.
But in this case, what I'm actually doing is pretty much the blog software is just like almost no features. It is posts with attachments and RSS feeds. And kind of the whole point is, I'm going to open source it, is instead of having a million different options, build the most basic piece of software you can, and what it is, it's actually for other Rails hackers. So you export the source code, import it into your own repository, and you've got a base to start customizing it for yourself, for a client, and you don't have to weed through templating or you know, any kind of crazy code. It's all real basic Rails, you know, almost scaffolding, and you can just run with it.
Yeah, and that's actually kind of nice. I mean, you don't have to worry about anything being overly complicated. I hate when I start looking at software and they're doing some magic and you have to follow some code path through several rabbit holes to find out what the hell is going on. That's ridiculous.
But I'll actually be releasing that at my blog, justhack.com. I'm actually blogging about building it, and the design is pretty horrible right now because I haven't gotten to that part. We're in pure functionality mode.
And neither of us is really a designer.
Yeah, I'm going to have to pony up some cash for Kevin.
That's funny. So I guess the project that I decided to just kind of jump in and work on, because I wanted to release something open source, and I've had a number of client requests for wiki installation to integrate with other Rails sites that they have. in particular, they wanted to be able to kind of subdomain and share a user table on the back end between all the apps so that you only have to have one user account. You log into one site, you're logged into the other. And all the Rails wiki software out there is, you know, there's like Pamiki and Instiki and Ruse, and they all have these horribly complicated setups. So I decided that screw that and just going to write my own, and we'll make it as simple as possible. We'll follow all the Rails conventions we can. It's using, you know, RESTful routes. I still need to integrate the RSS feed into it, but, you know, it uses standard plugins like RESTful Auth for the user implementation. So, you know, you can easily take something like Beast, Mephisto, or any site you build that's using the RESTful Auth plugin, and you should be able to integrate the two just by using the, you know, the same table from a database and have them using the same user accounts. So that
I'm actually using the same plugin. So yeah, if you want to integrate the blog with anything else, you've already got RESTful authentication, attachment foo, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Now, did you integrate Akismet support for spam checking?
It's in there. I haven't hooked it up yet, but it's one of those things, like, you'll be able to turn it off and on. And once I get it in there, you can turn it on, and it'll check the page posting against Akismet, because my understanding is you can use it for blogs and wikis, and it should help cut down on the spam, because that's probably the most annoying thing about wikis is the amount of spam that gets pushed through them. The other option that I have in there to kind of cut down on spam is you can, you know, check off a box that says, you know, require login to do any kind of posting to the wiki, creating a new page or editing a page. And with the OpenID integration, the new user, I mean, there's not even a new user creation with OpenID. You just pop in your OpenID and you've essentially signed in as a new user to the service, and, you know, we'll remember all your info. So, you know, that's I kind of like that as a feature. So that way, you know, I'm going to implement this as the SteelPixel wiki, and any customer that has an OpenID will be able to log in, and I don't have to worry too much about spam.
You can also roll back per user as well, so.
Yeah, I don't have that functionality built in yet. Still not sure how I'm going to implement that one.
Let's see. Oh, actually, another thing I'd like to mention is Orlando Barcamp. I'm trying to look up the link here. I believe it's September 23rd, but I'm going to actually try to make it there. So if anybody's going, you know, leave a comment or send us an email and we can hook up, have a beer.
I know what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about the tools that we used as a team kind of for this project and for really for all projects, at least as far as SteelPixel goes when we do something. We use Campfire for everyone to kind of keep in sync and a place for everyone to meet up and chat. And, you know, that gives us a recorded history of what was talked about in case we need to go back and look. And it makes it really easy to paste code snippets back and forth, too. So it's great for when we're coding right there. And then we've actually got that hooked into Subversion through a post-commit hook. If you're not familiar with that, what happens is when we do a Subversion check-in or a commit, it runs this little piece of code, and we're able to look up, you know, who did the commit, what they said about the commit, and what files were changed. And then we take that and run a little Campfire script that goes out, logs into Campfire, and gives us a little message letting us know that code was checked in. So that's really nice. And then I've even been playing around with Lighthouse integration, where we can put in a ticket, and Lighthouse has a post-commit hook of its own that allows you to go in and take that commit, and it pushes it to the Lighthouse site, and then Lighthouse does a little bit of parsing, and you can actually have it mark a ticket as resolved based on your commit. So you don't even have to log into Lighthouse. You can close tickets just right from your Subversion commit. So, and then, you've been playing with Warehouse, haven't you, Chris?
Yeah. Actually, I got Warehouse installed for my own stuff.
Why don't you say what it is?
Sorry.
Yeah, we haven't Warehouse, talked about it before.
Yeah, Warehouse is actually a source code browser. You can actually browse your Subversion repository in a web browser. And so you can go in and actually roll through different revisions, look at the different files, and actually right now I've got it set up. So if you go to svn.justhack.com, you can see I've got two Rails plugins exposed right now. And then I'll also expose the blog software so you can browse the repository for that as well.
Right. And actually it has some tools to help manage users for your Subversion repository.
Oh yeah, that's right. It has it also has some hooks as well, such that when you add a user to the website, it actually will create a user on the back end. Currently it only supports the HTTP auth. But the version 1.1 is going to add support for the SVN serve format file.
Okay. And then it is still kind of buggy, though, isn't it? Because you had a problem with anonymous, turning that on and then setting permissions?
Yeah. If you add there's actually two issues with that. If you add an anonymous user, for some reason it actually takes away the new permission button. And then it also has an issue where it won't write out the config file. For the access config file.
Yeah.
And so I actually got that patched. There was a patch in the forum for the access config file, but the new permission button is still gone. So that should all be fixed in 1.1.
Yeah. I don't think they know about the new permission button. Did you find that in the forum? Because I had talked to Rick about it, and he said to post a screenshot and a kind of a bit about what the bug is in the forum.
Oh, really? Oh, I'll have to do that.
Yeah, because he said he didn't know about that one. So, and then I guess with 1.1, they're actually going to have plugin support where you can drop in post-commit hooks. And they actually have, I guess it uses a rake task, and they get chained together so you can have multiple plugins such as Campfire. There's something called Archive, which tests your test coverage. So you can chain, Campfire, Archive, Lighthouse, and any other kind of post-commit hooks that you want to run. You can chain them all together. And then you get this nice, lovely, 2-minute commit timeout. Because you have like 40 plugins running.
But you are all about the Subversion commit hooks.
Yes. I think we have 3 of them running right now on some of the post-commit hooks we have. But I love watching Twitter, like some of the Rails core people talking about how long it takes to check in something because they have so many post-commit hooks too. But good stuff. So I don't know if you guys are using Subversion. This definitely, I know Warehouse is built in Rails, but it's a pretty straightforward install. So I wouldn't let that scare you away from it. If you're looking for something, it certainly allows easy management, and it'll give you easy access to all these post-commit hooks we're talking about as soon as they release 1.1. So good stuff.
Yeah, and by the way, these are not paid advertisements. We're just fanboys.
Yeah. These are just the tools we use.
Yeah.
And we make absolutely nothing off the fact that we're mentioning these. I guess that's a reverse disclosure.
I think that is about it. Do you have anything else?
Yeah, I guess that's about it. I mean, I don't know if you wanted to talk about easy deployment.
Nah.
Nah? Okay. I guess we'll probably cover that when we talk to Ezra, if he ever comes on the show.
Yes.
He helps run Engine Yard, which is a high-end Rails production company. So if you're looking for something, I'd certainly give them a look. And then I guess as far as other interviews go, we're talking about maybe interviewing Feed Haas, which is in a private beta right now, kind of similar to maybe Technorati, maybe? I don't know. Kind of like a social version of Technorati. And
I need to contact Mike from Amazon Web Services.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we'd love to have them on again and talk about... I'd love to hear about their Flex stuff, their payment system that they released.
They've released EC2 and S3 since the last time we talked to them, as well as the payment service.
I thought we talked to them about S3 the last time they were on.
I didn't see it in the show notes.
Maybe not. So, yeah, they've released quite a few things, but I think the biggest thing is Flex, because then you don't have to worry about, you know, all this crap of having to go out and pay crazy fees and setup fees and all this crazy stuff for credit card processing. So that would definitely be nice for some of these easier projects that I work on. Who else was there? Lip. I don't know if you saw that email, Chris, but they're getting ready to launch some kind of site that's built in Rails that utilizes, I think it utilizes Asterisk server, and it does some kind of voice over IP integration with IM. So,
integration with IM.
Yeah, I think it's for group calling. So, like, if I am you and I am Kevin, there's a way to have Lip give us all a call, and we would all be on one call through their voice over IP service.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm going to be talking to them and see if. We can get a demo of their product and maybe get them on the show to talk about that. And then we're kind of playing around with Mint.com. I don't know if you got in there or not, Chris, but...
I never could get in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to fix that. I'll give them an email. But I've been in there, and I've been playing with it for about 2 weeks now, and we're hoping to interview them sometime in September to talk about their service and... some of the challenges they've run into. They've actually been pretty good with the beta. I had a problem getting into one of my banks, and it took them a couple of days, but they got it all fixed. Banks are so weird, like when you have to integrate with them on the back end. Like, I don't know, this one particular bank had security questions that it would ask if you've never logged in from that IP address before. So they had to account for that and, like, ask me all these security questions. So.
Oh, but they responded and they actually got your bank hooked up?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty slick.
Yeah, so it's kind of nice because I've got it hooked up to my phone, too, and periodically it just pops me over an SMS message that tells me my bank balance is. So it's like what a bank should do, but they haven't done, only better.
So, and actually, if, let's see, how many crutch words can I string together? If anybody out there has, you know, either you're working on something and you think you should be interviewed, or you know of, if you know of a cool product out there that you'd like for us to interview, go ahead and leave a comment or shoot us an email. Again, web20show@gmail.com, and we'll try to get in contact with you or them and set up an interview.
Yep. Sounds good.
All right, time for lunch.
Yeah, really. I need to go order some. Well, thanks for being on the show, Chris.
Right. Thanks a lot. And he said, we almost forgot the super secret reveal.
Oh, yeah. So, super secret questions. Do you have any super secret things you're working on that you want to tell all our listeners about?
I set up my darkroom again and am developing old school pictures.
That's lame, dude. Oh, wait. You ask me. I've got one.
Oh. So, do you have a super secret reveal for us, Josh?
Indeed, I do. This Friday, Rails Rumble starts, and we're going to be working on an application together, and Kevin's going to help us, and we've got a friend that runs Bopia, Bruno. He's going to be helping us, too, and we're going to be working on a recipe website, recipe sharing website. So you guys might as well hang up your hats if you're thinking about participating in Rails Rumble. We've already got it locked up. So
excellent.
All right. Later, man.
Have a good weekend.